Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, your designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophony of conversation. Glad to be back with you once again. You know, as listeners know all too well, our turf here on Coast to Coast, our beat, so to speak, takes us into some strange and murky places, dark places, where up is down and left is right, where smoke and mirrors swirl and confuse, and we're never quite sure who's telling the truth and who's yanking our chain for their own, presumably nefarious purposes. Nowhere is this more true than in that strange parallel world of ufology, where nothing is ever quite what it seems to be. Tonight we go in pursuit of the Mirage Men, not mythical creatures, but real men of flesh and blood and bone, whose methods and intentions are anything but clear. They are tellers of tall tales, spinners of yarns, the stranger offering candy or teasing us with the promise of a brave new world. A new book titled Mirage Men includes this passage. The Mirage Men want us to believe simultaneously in extremes of possibilities, that the UFOs and their occupants are real and that they've never existed at all. So who are they? What are they up to? How do they operate? And is it possible those who are telling us all about them are themselves part of the game? My guest coming up in hour two is Mark Pilkington. He's an author, a magazine writer, UFO researcher, and admitted crop circle hoaxer who has been on quite a journey the past couple of years working on this book and a film and is now ready to tell us all about it. Should be quite a ride. Big stories in the news regarding national security issues this week, and I don't just mean our coast-to-coast news. The other guys even covered some of it. A lawsuit filed against the feds accusing them of running an illegal assassination program that targets even American citizens ran into a legal buzzsaw when the Obama administration argued that this whole thing needs to be tossed out and not discussed whatsoever any further. Any discussion of the legal issues surrounding such a program, you know, if it exists, wink, wink, would it itself constitute a breach of national security? So the administration wants this case gone, and they'll probably get it. I have mixed feelings about government-approved assassinations. I think you probably do, too. On one hand, it makes me a little bit nervous to think that government functionaries, people who work for the government, whose names we don't know, have the green light to kill the person or people of their choice. People who may be far removed from any kind of a battlefield because someone decides they are a terrorist or a terrorist threat. That seems like something that could lead to terrible excesses. On the other hand, I am not so naive to believe there are not people out there, bad people, who really do need to be taken out of the picture one way or another before they do really bad things. Would we have assassinated Hitler? Of course we would. Would we have put a bullet into Muhammad Atta's head before 9/11 and all the rest of the co-conspirators? I would hope so, if that's what it took. So a question like this is kind of a mixed bag, at least for me. Also in national security news, the FBI reluctantly admitted that in the wake of 9/11, it spied on American citizens and groups like Greenpeace and the ACLU and others, that they did it because of fears that those groups were harboring terrorists or otherwise involved with international terror, suspicions which the FBI this week admitted were completely unfounded and without merit. Excuse me. Last week, if you were with me on Sunday night, you'll recall our guest talked about his book called Voodoo Histories, in which he basically dismissed all manner of conspiracy theories, all kinds of stuff, threw it out, the baby with the bathwater, including the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. And a friend of mine, John Barber, was kind of ticked off about that interview, as a lot of people were, sent me a well-researched list of 33 conspiracy theories from history that turned out to be the real deal, true in every respect. Suspicions confirmed. On our website tonight, in the Knapp's News section, Webmaster Tim Bidall and I have accumulated An interesting little collection, including a list of these 33 conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. Also there, a Washington Post story about that legal tussle over the state secrets lawsuit that I mentioned a couple of moments ago. If the subject is national security, there aren't many aspects, I think, that could be bigger than this one. Unknown forces messing around with the control of America's nuclear-tipped ICBMs. Tomorrow morning in Washington, D.C., at the National Press Club, that issue will be front and center as one of our former Coast guests, Robert Hastings, and a number of retired U.S. airmen tell about chilling encounters they had at nuclear missile bases when they were on duty, in which UFOs appeared over the bases and seemed to interfere with launch control procedures for our nation's nuclear missiles. I would not be surprised to see this news conference get a heck of a lot of coverage from other major media. I certainly would hope so. And that would, of course, be a rarity for anything associated with UFOs, as you and I know. I know that Fox News is committed to being there. I know there have been several online articles published this week to sort of pump up the volume about this event. And you'll also recall that last week in the first hour of the program, I was joined by my friend, historian Richard Dolan, who talked about his upcoming book, AD, After Disclosure. Rich has written sort of a very insightful article about the importance of this news conference tomorrow, about what it's going to be covering, about the importance of the issue of some unknown entity or forces messing around with our nuclear weapons and what it means to UFO research and the topic in general. And Tim Banal has posted that article on the Coast site if you care to check it out. One other alien-related item that also touches on national security, but not in a serious vein. It's not a news story at all, not by a long shot. A Las Vegas businessman that I know with a long-standing interest in UFO subjects has launched a new venture. His name is George Harris, and he's previously built something called the Alien Research Center and gift shop up near the infamous Area 51 here in Nevada. He's now marketing a product called Alien Tequila, and he sells it in bottles shaped like an E.T. head. Anyway, George put together a commercial for his tequila, though it's more like a mini movie, sort of a Roswell theme to it. And I thought it was so well done, especially since he and his friends put it together, not an ad agency, that I posted it on the website. It's a couple of minutes long, as you'll see if you take a look. And I'm certainly not endorsing this product, just saying you might be entertained by the commercial. One other government-related story in the news. You know, I've often talked about the Bureau of Land Management and its troubled program to supposedly manage, and I use air quotes around that, America's wild horses and horse herds. And BLM has been really catching some heat over the past several months for all of the mismanagement and mistakes it has made, and that is a very long list. So it's finally sort of reluctantly promised to be open and transparent and honest, and is promising to let the public see whatever it's doing, to let the press in whenever it has one of these roundups. This week, it announced that there is another horse roundup scheduled for here in Nevada coming up in a couple of days. It's in a town called Ely. It may have started by now. What it didn't announce is that another secret roundup was already underway much further north in the state. No announcement, no public notice, nothing. Some wild horse advocates from Herd Watch, which is a group associated with something called the Cloud Foundation, caught wind of this. They went up and literally caught these government agencies in the act, rounding up these horses without telling the public anything about it. They responded, the government agencies responded by trying to scare the heck out of this one wild horse advocate who went up there to photograph it. They took a helicopter and repeatedly buzzed her car, just hovering a few feet over the top of her head. She took some photos of this and photos of what looks like this big wild horse graveyard up there, a big pit with piles of horse bones. BLM's going to have a lot of explaining to do on this. And as I've said before, even if you don't care about the Mustang herds, this is your money being spent on this program. It's public money spent by public employees on public land. And we, the taxpayers, have every right to know what they're doing with it. Yet BLM still continues to find ways to keep the public out, whether it's by subterfuge, such as this thing this week, or outright threats of arrest, as they have done a couple of times over the past couple of months. It's a program that's simply out of control. It needs to either be scrapped altogether or started over or taken away from this particular agency. On another subject, I received word earlier today about a pretty impressive rash of UFO sightings seen here in the Southwest over the past few days. Tucson, in particular, saw its skies filled with odd objects. When we come back, we'll get into that, and maybe I can get our Arizona friend, blogger Steve Hammonds, to give us the lowdown on what was seen. And then, of course, at the top of the hour, the mysterious Mirage Men with Mark Pilkington. So stick around. I'm George Knapp, and we are just getting started here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I have received word that all the young Knapps are tuned in tonight, all my nephews living in Northern California, Huck and Mike and George and Jack, and they're all becoming hooked on Coast to Coast AM. And my question is, why did it take so long? Can't you help your poor old uncle out by tuning in, at least when I host the program? And also, fellas, if you're BSing me, I'll be calling tomorrow with the quiz. I do want to get into this idea about what's been buzzing around the skies of the Southwest in the past couple of days. Tucson, in particular, has seen dozens and dozens of eyewitnesses come forward. They've been texting and tweeting the local TV station down there to describe the mystery object or objects seen, I think, starting three nights ago. Joining me now to talk about this case is a prolific blogger, Steve Hammonds, who lives in Arizona and whose articles and blogs have been posted here many times. Thanks for staying up late with us, Steve.
Hi, George.
So what are people seeing?
Well, according to the Tucson Citizen online publication and also apparently TV station KOLD, dozens of Tucson citizens have been reporting that they saw something very unusual the night of Thursday, September 23rd, that they described as a triangular-shaped object with multiple lights around it that these Tucson residents said absolutely did not appear to be a normal military or civilian aircraft.
I saw some of the discussion on a video that I think you sent me, the TV folks talking about it, and it's a lot of people that saw this. It's not just one or two witnesses, right?
That's correct. That's what the commentators on KOLD TV indicated. It received, in their opinion, an unusually large number of calls, and the witnesses or the citizens that called these reports in were quite adamant, apparently, that this was something very unique.
Well, I know that I've been down to Tucson chasing UFO stories over the years, and Fort Huachuca is out there, right? They have a lot of interesting and secure high-tech stuff.
Yes. Army Post Fort Huachuca is a major U.S. Army intelligence post, and it is just a little bit south-southeast of Tucson.
So could that explain what they're seeing?
Well, I suppose there could be a connection, but again, the people who have reported this, and in the reporting from the media, many of the people in Tucson are very familiar with military overflights because they have not only Army Fort Huachuca nearby, but Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and according to the witnesses, this doesn't look like any military aircraft that they've seen before.
I think there's video, isn't there? Isn't there a snippet of video that some alien watcher there in Tucson captured?
Yeah, yes, there was. There is a gal down there who purports to try to, she goes out sky watching every night and tries to videotape anything that looks unusual. And she did put out a video, and I believe it's on YouTube. And I did see that, and it, you know, it was pretty vague. And apparently some of the people who are calling the local TV stations are saying that really doesn't represent what they saw. They didn't see a few distant lights in the sky, which is what that video seems to show. They apparently are reporting a very distinct triangular-shaped object with, I believe they said, 3 to 6 lights that were quite distinct.
Steve, you've written about these topics for a long time. You know a lot of the same people that I do. You know what a murky world ufology is and how hard it is to nail anything down. The topic of tonight, the main guest we're having, Mark Pilkington, is here to talk about disinformation. You as a writer, as a journalist, when you're dealing with these topics, how do you navigate those treacherous waters?
Well, it's all very interesting because, of course, there's been a longstanding view that this UFO or situation has been a very delicate and sensitive government defense and intelligence predicament, possibly going back at least to the Roswell incident. And there, of course, has been documentation and speculation that, you know, this situation required security. And part of that security was creating cover stories, creating information for the public that protected the real situation that might be going on. Now, whether this is all true or not, we don't really know. But certainly the idea that our defense and intelligence communities could create cover stories is seems pretty reasonable.
You sort of touch on some of the stranger aspects of disinformation and how difficult it is to figure out who's telling the truth. In one of your recent articles, maybe I could send it to Tim and he can post it so people can read it. It's about something called Stuxnet, and I don't even know what it is. I didn't before I read your article, but the subtitle is Cyber Warfare and Alien Extraterrestrial Invasion. Tell us what you mean by Stuxnet, if for those who are not familiar with this story that's breaking this week.
Well, that was a story by writer Gary Beckham, but there's also been a lot of mainstream media coverage of this. Apparently, it's a computer virus that is out there. This has been determined, and they give it a name, whoever these IT security guys are who investigate these viruses and worms and all these kind of things that disrupt our computer system. And there has been speculation, say, in the mainstream media, that this computer virus was possibly created by, let's say, a government-funded or a government-sponsored entity that is possibly targeting Iran. And and I am absolutely not an IT security expert, but apparently this type of virus or worm or whatever you may call it was designed to disrupt the actual mechanical functioning of things like, let's say, nuclear reactors or nuclear industrial operations. And specifically, according to what's on the web, things that have been designed by the Siemens company, which I believe is a German company, and apparently they are some type of contractors or subcontractors involved in the Iranian nuclear activities.
I'm sorry, yeah, it was Gary Beckham's article, not yours. You sent it to me, though, so that's why I was making that psychic connection there.
Sure.
I know that Gary is sort of implying that maybe it comes from beyond, that it's not just an American intelligence agency behind this thing. Do you have any idea why he's making that jump?
Well, he made some interesting connections. He was definitely talking about this worm or virus that had been that there's speculation by experts in computer security that this had been created by a government-sponsored activity of some kind. And then he kind of made a bit of a jump to say that, what if extraterrestrials, let's say, were able to affect our computer systems and our technology. And I think this ties into what you mentioned earlier of tomorrow's press conference in Washington, D.C., about the reports that UFOs have been in some way connected with the technology involved in our nuclear weapons operations. And he's connecting those things that our nuclear weapons activities apparently have been visited or influenced by UFOs. Could that be another type of attack or interference with technology similar to this worm or virus?
I see where he's going. Steve, I don't know if you want to stick around. We're going to open up the phone lines. People can ask whatever they want, make whatever comments. Maybe they have some questions for you, and we can talk a little bit more about Gary Beckham's article about Stuxnet and cyber warfare. I sure hope that is technology that our intelligence agencies have, if it can really take out Iranian's nuclear program. That would be a handy thing to have. Stay with us, everyone. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. The top of the hour, we'll be talking with the author of Mirage Men, An Adventure into Paranoia, Espionage, Psychological Warfare, and UFOs. His name is Mark Pilkington, making his first appearance, I think, on Coast to Coast. By the way, I don't know if you noticed that song that was playing in the background as we went into the break. It's called Tend My Garden by the group The James Gang. And, of course, if you know anything about The James Gang, that was the first group where Joe Walsh, the legendary, timeless Joe Walsh, came to the public's attention as a skinny young guitar player. And I am told that Joe Walsh listens to Coast on a regular basis. Joe, if you're listening, give us a call sometime. We're talking right now with Steve Hammonds about UFOs and disinformation and the incident in Tucson and anything else you want to talk about, opening up the phone lines, and we'll take your calls as soon as we come back after this break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. Before we open the phone lines, I have one more question for Steve Hammonds. Steve, you had written a couple of articles about this new NBC series, The Event, in which you sort of analyze whether it's more than just a TV program. What do you think?
Well, episode 2 will be shown tomorrow night, and apparently they're going to answer a few of the questions that they posed in episode 1. They've tried to maintain top security on what the plot of the series is about, and there has been a little bit of scuttlebutt and a little bit of information out there on the web that it does have something to do with extraterrestrial or UFO disclosure or something along those lines. But it's not at all clear to me at this point, George.
And you think that there's something more to it, that it's part of a disclosure program or an acclimation program, or that's just hype to get people to watch the show?
Well, it's quite possible. There have been a few bits of information supposedly from inside the entertainment business that this is going to be one of the themes in the series. But, of course, as in real life, this idea of extraterrestrial visitation disclosure is linked with a lot of other things, too, like human development and where humanity is at and current events on good old planet Earth. So it's really unclear. It's a mystery, which is, of course, what they want to audiences to be involved in and interested in.
Well, it's working, at least on the hype front anyway. I have to admit, I have not seen the program yet, but I'm going to be tuning in pretty soon here and checking it out. We're going to go to the phones. Steve, I don't know if they want to talk to you or talk to me, but we're open to either possibility. East of the Rockies, Michael in New Hampshire. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Hey, hi. How are you?
Okay.
Hype was the word I was thinking of. You remember they were saying that on the set of Poltergeist, weird things were happening. You know these triangular things with the lights on them?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to sneak into a planet, why are you going to have all kinds of running lights? You know?
Yeah, it's hard to decipher what some visitor's motives might be.
Yeah, it but
might
don't be get hard. Me wrong, though. I believe in the string theory, you know, the 11th string, the 12th string. I believe in wormholes. I believe in everything that if we can think it, then it's possible. And if I could say one more thing, please, before I go. I was watching Alan... what's the guy's name? King, Larry King.
Larry King, sure.
Yeah, and he was interviewing President Carter, and of course, tonight the the deadlines run out. And what really dismayed me was that people that are in the settlements are celebrating. Now, why would anybody want to move into what's going to be a battlefield? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, no argument there. I mean, a lot of what goes on in the Middle East doesn't make sense, and I don't think we can sort it out on a radio program, but I appreciate you raising the question there and the issue, Michael. Thank you. West of the Rockies, Brent in Tucson. Maybe Brent saw something there. Did you?
Yes, I did, George.
Tell me what you saw.
Well, I was driving into work, and it was definitely after sunset, and I saw five white solid lights in the sky. And, you know, Tucson is an Air Force town, and we're pretty used to seeing air traffic. And this caught my eye since they're perfectly straight. And I kept driving for a few more seconds, and the lights began to move. And they formed a small triangle pointing westbound. And as soon as I thought that's definitely out of the ordinary and something I've never seen before, each light blinked out from left to right in sequential order. And that was the entire thing that I saw.
How long did it last, the whole thing?
Maybe 20 to 30 seconds. And when I got to my destination, I told a friend about it, and she sort of just laughed it off, said, yeah, okay, I'm sure you saw something, ha-ha. And then I went to start hitting the news, and people started talking about it. Then I sort of realized I saw something definitely, you know, remarkable.
You know, we don't know what it is. It could be something that the Air Force or some other agency is flying around. We certainly don't know that it's from way out yonder somewhere. Michael, the previous caller, had asked an interesting question about why would they have the running lights on, and we don't know. I mean, we don't know who they are or why they're here or what they're doing. I know that in the world of UFOs that people have speculated that if there are visitors, that maybe they're putting on a show, they're putting on a display to generate some sort of a reaction that we don't quite understand, and they're doing it over a long period of time, maybe as some kind of a conditioning process, maybe to just to pull our chain? I don't know. Steve, you have any thoughts?
Well, you raised some great points, George, that it's interesting that there's both secrecy and a covert stealth style to UFOs in general, and then there's also an element of possibly they want to be seen. It seems to me like you've got those two things going on in tandem, and this may relate to your guest later on this evening, that there's something that's overt and there's something that's covert at the same time, and it's confusing. It's kind of a paradox.
Well, it seems confusing on purpose. I mean, you know some of the more interesting characters in the field. You know, you're not going to be here for the discussion of Mirage Men, but there's probably no question that there is disinformation that goes on in the field. It's pretty difficult to sort this stuff out, to figure out when you're being told a yarn and when you're being given real information.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, I guess the Mirage Men concept is that the military is trying to explain away some of our advanced stealth aircraft or spacecraft by saying, well, those are UFOs. And then we also hear when people report UFOs that, oh no, those aren't extraterrestrial; those are our secret advanced aircraft. So it's again, it's confusing. I'm sure by design to be confusing, but that idea of UFOs being both secretive and visible, that paradox is still there. And of course, since we're talking about Tucson, nothing could be more closely aligned with that than the 1997 Phoenix Lights case, where apparently a huge boomerang-shaped craft with lights, with large lights, supposedly flew right over the middle of Phoenix, Arizona, which is only a couple hours drive north of Tucson, where this thing was seen just a couple nights ago.
Well, you know, we've heard about these giant floating black triangles for a lot of years. This sounds like what Brent was describing sounds smaller than that, although I guess you're talking about things seen in the night sky. Judging size and shape is sometimes kind of kind of difficult. Brent, we appreciate the call. We're going to try our first-time caller line, Lincoln, in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Lincoln.
Hey, how it goes? It's a real honor.
Thanks.
It was interesting. You were talking about the sightings on Thursday night. It was funny because on Thursday night around 8:30 in the evening, a friend of mine came up to me and a roommate of mine came up to me and suggested that she had seen something weird, had a lot of lights, and was moving really, really quick. And about an hour after that, I was outside having a fresh air exchange, and I was looking up at the moon, and I saw a very similar thing, except based on my vantage point and the moon, it looked like I had a smoke trail. And it was very weird. I live near Toronto, and I live on the flight path for Pearson International, so I'm used to the same thing. I'm used to seeing a lot of air traffic. This was really out of whack for what I'm used to seeing. I was just wondering if anyone else has seen anything like that.
Not that I know of. Maybe some of our other listeners will call in and let us know. Steve, does this ring a bell with you?
You know, I try to keep an eye on the news media regarding things like that, and I haven't heard anything about a Toronto area sighting.
Lincoln, I'll tell you what. We'll let you know if anybody else calls in with the same information. On our wildcard line, Cornelius in Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius. How you doing?
Hey, George. God bless you, and God bless Mr. Hammonds. And I was just bringing somebody stole my thunder. Matter of fact, you did, George. And this is the first time I ever talked to you. And God bless your call screener, Miss Gina. I was going to talk about the event, too, because I think it's really about disclosure. So I'll let you all discuss that, and I hope it will come out one of these days.
Well, hold on a second, Cornelius. Why do you think that?
It just seems like they're preparing the public for, with all these different movies and stuff, you know, 2012 and this, all this, it seems like they're preparing us for something to happen. V, you remember V on ABC, and it just seems like it's coming, something's coming.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out what they're preparing us for, because sometimes you've got the friendly aliens of Close Encounters, and sometimes you've got War of the Worlds, they're here crushing us and blowing us to bits.
Well, I think they're a little bit of both. In other words, they're good ones and bad ones.
Just like people.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Cornelius. Anything to add there, Steve?
Well, he raises some interesting points and points that other people have raised that there may be more than one, if there are extraterrestrials or some other types of beings visiting us, it's possible or it's been speculated about that there could be some that are friendly, some that are not friendly. And on the issue of are we being prepared or acclimated, there has been a lot written speculating that, yes, beginning in, let's say, 1947 approximately, the government realized that, hey, we need to prepare the public for something very challenging and very unusual.
Well, whether it's on purpose or not, it sure seems to be happening one way or another. Got a couple of callers from Arizona on different lines on our Wildcard 2 line. Gordy Two Shoes in Tucson. Hey, Gordy, how you doing?
Hey, George. I actually saw this back in April. It was a daylight sighting. It was southwest of Tucson above the mines. And if anybody knows Tucson, there's a bunch of mines southwest of Tucson. And me and a bunch of coworkers were out there. For job purposes. Anyway, I kind of looked north, kind of northwest, and I thought at first it was geese because it was flying in a V formation. And then I stopped and I'm like, God, those are obviously not geese. They're not moving. They were hovering over the mines. And as I looked closer, they were silver discs or silver balls. And because it was daylight, there was not lights. They were just sitting there. And it was about 3-4 minutes. And then they just kind of vanished, like faded out. And it wasn't just me. It was a coworker as well saw the exact same thing. So these kind of things have been going around Tucson for at least, 4 or 5 months.
And why do you think that this thing that you saw in the daytime, the silver balls, is the same thing, this triangular thing with lights that were described by the other witnesses?
Well, because the formation, they're kind of saying the same thing, but I just kind of tend to think it's you know, same area, same formation, but I mean, it could be something completely different. I don't know.
Gordy, we appreciate every little bit of information we can get. Thanks you for the call, Gordy Two Shoes. We're also going to Kevin in Arizona on our wild card line. Kevin, did you see something?
No, I didn't see anything. I saw something several years ago in Arizona. But my question is, this goes out to either of you. When do you see this all coming out? It seems like the government's kind of losing their grip on this. I mean, people got cameras, they got video cameras, they got YouTube. It seems like it's kind of coming. They can't really hold it off much longer. And do you feel also our technology, you think they might want to turn us off soon? Because maybe we're getting a little out of hand. And do you believe there's a part of the government that are kind of in cahoots, the alien agenda, and they're working together in some way or another? That kind of scares me.
And Kevin, that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit to chew on here. Let's take that one first. Steve, you want to take any of that?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few questions there. I think there's certainly been speculation out there that there are elements of the government, let's say our intelligence community or someone related to them, who have more knowledge than we average people, that might be working in some kind of cooperative manner advance the agenda of whatever the agenda might be, and to educate us and prepare us. So I think that's something to think about. Certainly, our intelligence community has possibly, well, actually, we know for sure our intelligence community and our defense community has been looking into this situation since World War II. I mean, that is a fact that they've been looking into it. What they've uncovered or how much progress they've made in understanding it is a little unclear.
Kevin, my guess would be that there are well-meaning people in our government who have studied it, who've tried to figure it out, and although they have a lot more information than the general public does, that they don't know the answers to the basic big questions either, like who they are, where they're from, why they're here, what their interest is in us. I suspect that they're mystified about how to go about releasing the information. My personal prediction is that there's not going to be any kind of a disclosure thing. I think too many people would be in trouble. I think too many people have told lies and absconded with national security funds from this legitimate programs to help keep the cover-up going. I think there are folks in the government who just don't know what to say about it, and that they can't see any good coming out of making any kind of a revelation. I appreciate the call, though, Kevin. We got one more caller from Arizona on our first-time caller line, Jim in Arizona. Hi, Jim. Did you see any of this stuff?
Well, I didn't see any of this stuff this time in Tucson, but I did have a couple of questions for you guys. And I did have a sighting north of Tucson. Remember, I think it was 5-6 years ago, they called them the Phoenix Lights?
Yeah.
Where they were just lights hanging. We were on our way up from Tucson, and I had my boys and a friend in the car. And we stopped on the side of the road and just looked at that. They were probably half a mile out along a mountain range in between. It was kind of like Casa Grande, which is right between Tucson and Phoenix. And those lights didn't move. There was four of them right there, and they were not flares. I'll tell you, they were not flares. So the question that I have is, I've done quite a bit of research and reading, and there seems to be quite a bit of information about secret bases that exist underground all throughout the world, they say, but particularly here in the United States. The entrances to these bases are in the mountains. Now, I'm not talking about the Sierra Nevadas and the mountains in northern Montana or wherever. I'm talking about desert mountain range.
Hey, just a word of warning, Jim. We're running out of time here. We got about a minute before our break. So,
Steve, do you know anything about secret bases? Any published information? And the last question, can you shine any light on Majestic?
Well, of course, the Four Corners area up there where Arizona Mexico and Utah meet. There's been speculation that there are underground bases, and of course there's been speculation that there are underground bases linking military sites in New Mexico.
But we don't have any real proof, do we?
No, we don't have any real proof. It's just speculation.
Hey, Steve, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that music tells us that we need to go to a break. I really appreciate you tuning in and answering some questions, and we'll make sure we post all of your articles because I enjoy every one of them that comes out. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, George.
All right, see you later. Thanks to all of our callers as well. Coming up, Mirage Men, an adventure into paranoia, espionage, psychological warfare, and UFOs, the new book by Mark Pilkington. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM.